to go through the surrounding territories and gave him lumber to take with him for the rebuilding of the gates and even gave him a cavalry to surround him and protect him on his way. And after Nehemiah and God's people rose up together and cried out, "Let us start rebuilding," and began the good work. And after distractors and discouragers and threateners raised their voices to scare and discourage and intimidate and stop the workers of the work on the wall, after even some of their own people for financial gain took the money of their own people and the crops and the fields and the homes and the lands and even their children as slaves in payment. And after Nehemiah confronted those who were sinning against their own flesh and blood about their heartless ways, and after they repented of that and began treating their kin a better way and returned to them all that they had taken from them, and after all of that, the wall of Jerusalem was completed. Amen? And the people returned to Jerusalem. Thousands upon thousands returned. And the leaders and the people reestablished the word of God as the center of their life and their law. And the people of Israel, in response to God's word, confessed their sins. And then, after the wall is finished and God is glorified, the word is returned, and they've confessed their sins, then it's time to dedicate and celebrate. In Nehemiah 12:27 says, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with rejoicing, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres." It began with a gathering. As you've heard from Pastor Eddie and Pastor Paula, a couple days ago, as Pathways Baptist Church, we hosted the District of Columbia Baptist Convention. From hundreds of churches, hundreds of pastors and leaders from far and wide, from the greater D.C. area, gathered for business, training, and fellowship and worship. The hallways around us were filled with great excitement. They are very blessed to hear and see the great things that God has and is doing in the body, in the community, and world through Pathways. And Thursday evening, Pathways did itself proud as people gathered in the sanctuary for a big time of worship in the Word. You know, in the DCBC, we have the blessing of having a number of wonderful African-American churches, and these brethren are not ashamed of their love of Jesus and His Word. And they love to rejoice and worship in great enthusiasm and fullness. They also appreciate when they gather with other believers, when they are blessed by other brethren who also love to rejoice and worship in great enthusiasm and fullness. And so as the brethren of the convention gathered Thursday night for worship in this place, your worship team offered their best to God and to the gathered people. Your organist and pianist blessed in their playing. And speaking of your organist, Ellen Teague had her husband in the hospital and came to play the organ. He was okay. She took a little break and went right back. Your choir blessed in their singing. Your praise team blessed in their leading. Your orchestra blessed through their instruments. Your bell choir blessed in their ringing. The sound and video team blessed with the technical praise and facilities around. Your deacons and greeters blessed in their warmth. And your staff blessed in their loving and serving for many, many hours. And the room was filled with worship and praise, but not unlike what we get to experience every Sunday, amen? They had a taste that we get to have every Sunday. And they expressed their joy for God's blessing among us. They expressed their appreciation for sharing the blessing of what God is doing here with them. And they greatly enjoyed this beautiful facility, the exceptional caring of the church people, the beautifully renovated classrooms and hallways, and above all, the wonderful and diverse worship experience. We give special thanks to the DCBC president, our own Pastor Paula, and the staff and all the church, all of you who helped in so many ways to bless our brothers and sisters of the DCBC. In a much similar matter, in Nehemiah's time, when it was time to dedicate the completed wall of Jerusalem, they sent word far and wide for those dwelling inside the city and outside the city, especially to the Levites, the family who was responsible for the worship of the people, and they were called to come. For it was time to gather, to dedicate the completed wall. So they celebrated the dedication. Nehemiah 12, 27, the last part says, they were called to celebrate the dedication with rejoicing, with thanksgivings, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. The temple people were gathered and were to use a variety of ways to celebrate the dedication of the Jerusalem walls, to worship God. And they were first to begin by rejoicing with thanksgiving and singing. They were to come with rejoicing. The definition of rejoice is to raise your heart and your voice with great pleasure and happiness. So they were to come with minds and hearts ready to rejoice. And please notice that they were there not to focus on the struggles that it took them to get here for the first 11 chapters, but they were to focus on the praise. There were many struggles before the wall was completed, but God had heard their prayers, had forgiven their repeated sins, had sent them Nehemiah, had sent them materials for rebuilding, had strengthened them and blessed them. And now it was not time to focus on the struggles, but to choose to rejoice. How many of us do that in our own lives? How many times do we just let everything of every day just drag us down all the time without stopping and focusing, looking at all the blessings, all the provision, all the care that God gives us? Instead of focusing on those things and the struggles of the past and maybe even we're going through, to focus on the good things. It's like there are two kinds of people that wake up in the morning. The ones that get up and say, "Good morning, Lord." The other ones that say, "Good Lord, morning." Which are you? This was not the time to focus on all the struggles, but to choose to rejoice, to lift up their voices as a part of the celebration of dedication, to lift their voices and rejoice with thanksgiving and with singing. And they were to rejoice also with instruments. It says with cymbals and harps and lyres. I'll show you something I've got that's really fancy here. See, I got a little pointer here. Can't even, there it is. It gets lost up there. It's lost in the thing. Well, you can see the thing. I'll give it to somebody who has a cat. You'd love this little thing. But you see, these are a number of the instruments that they had at that time. And they mentioned just a few, but there are so many. You know, if you have somebody that says you want to rejoice with cymbals and harps and lyres, you kind of go, okay, I know a cymbal. I know a harp. But how many lyres do we have out here? Any lyres in the congregation? Maybe we have a few, maybe I hope not. Maybe I should explain, though. You know, I'm kind of confused by some people that in churches that say you're not supposed to use instruments in church. Well, they must not be reading their Bible. Because since ancient times, people have discovered and been led that their voices and the sound-producing objects should and could be used for ceremonial purposes. I ask our own harp professional, Wynn Ruse, about the harp and the lyre. And her response was very helpful. She shared how string instruments, such as a harp-type instrument, seems to have its origin with the bow and arrow. A person would bend the bow and attach the string, and if you would hit the string, it would produce a sound. It would pluck. If you'd bend the bow to either tighten or loosen, the tone produced would change. They also found that the bow from bending would be inconsistent in keeping a certain note or tone. So intelligent people began to construct stiffer box configurations where they would attach even a number of strings, eventually with a string with a post to turn or tune it, so we have harps and lyres. Now the difference between a harp and a lyre is a harp usually has 10 or more strings. Well, I think Wynn's definitely qualifies for that. These are ones they carried, so probably a 10 or more. You can see probably up in the, oh, the picture's gone, okay. Up in the thing that they have, the lower left side, and the lyre is probably the upper right side is more what they seem to look like. Now, I read an article by a lyre historian and composer. He said the difference between them is that the strings of the harp enter into a hollow body where the lyre, the strings pass over a bridge, transmitting vibrations almost like a modern guitar. Now, I shared this with Wynn, and she didn't like this man's explanation. She disagreed, hold that there's more of a difference, so I have to choose which to side with. A liar, historian, and composer are Wynne Roos. I choose Wynne. Also, symbols we see are mentioned. The name cymbal derives from the word for something cupped. Cymbals are among the oldest percussion instruments. Some were made from wood, clay, and then metal. They've always been associated with religious worship and rituals and sometimes other forms of dances. Some of them have been the size of little castanets to dancing with larger and marching ones and stricken with a stick, which we kind of have today. So obviously, these were familiar and accepted praise instruments in the time of Nehemiah. If you read through your Bible, you will see there are a number of instruments mentioned. Trumpets, flutes, horns, harps, lyres, tambourines, cymbals, drums, bells, triangles, a bagpipe organ, a viol, kind of like a violin, just to name a few. And you heard from Psalm 150. Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with clanging cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Think they had any complaints about noise back then? Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So someone ever comes to you and says, you know, we don't believe that churches should have instruments in the church. Why does your church have instruments in worship? You just ask them, why doesn't yours? Because they're very biblical. So the Levite tribe of Israel, who are responsible for the care and leading of worship, are called forth to bring forward rejoicing and thankful minds and hearts and voices, and to bring their instruments together and celebrate the dedication. We read verses 28 to 29. The companies of the singers gathered together from the circuit around Jerusalem and from the village of the Nophathites, also from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Gaba and Azmaveth, for the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And then they did something different. They gathered, and then they had a purification requirement. It says in verse 30, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Note that before one moment of celebration, purification occurred. Personal cleansing, sin offering. They desired their hearts to be pure before God. They wanted holiness to precede their happiness. It must start with a purification. Pastor Paul last week talked about repentance. Before you embark upon any serious worship before God, we all should take a time of repentance and purification. Purification for the people of Nehemiah's time involved the people bringing their sin offerings to the priests. The people brought their offerings with confessing and repentant hearts. The priests would take their offerings, lay them on the altar, go through the curtain that the people were not allowed to go through, the Holy of Holies, where only the priests could go on behalf of the people. He would go in there, lay them on the altar, pray that God would accept their offering and their forgiveness on behalf of the person, and he would offer a burnt offering to God. Today, before we come to the Lord at any time, we should again still seek to purify our hearts. Every morning we get up, every day we go out, every time we come to worship, anything we do. Even in some Christian traditions today, some people will seek out others to share their sins with, to ask for forgiveness through, and to work through. But let me share something that's different from Old Testament than New Testament. Since Jesus died for our sins, things changed. In Mark 15, 37 to 38, it's about Jesus on the cross. It says, then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Look at 38. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. There's great significance in those two verses of what happened then and there. Before, the people needed their own sacrifices and a priest to offer sacrifices for them, to pray for them in their forgiveness, to go behind the curtain for them. There's no direct access to God for a person. They were too sinful. They were too separated. There was a curtain that separated the people from the altar, the presence of God. Only the priests who had purified themselves were worthy and able to go behind that curtain. But when Jesus died, when the sinless, spotless Lamb of God died on the cross, when Jesus bore, suffered, and died for all sins, including yours and mine, and we each and every one of us come before Jesus and his cross, and we confess our sins and ask him to die for and forgive us from our sins and vow to repent from our sins, then all of our sins, past and present, are died for, cleansed, washed, forgiven, forgotten, gone. You are purified. Amen? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32:5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave even the guilt of my sin. You and I, we receive purification every time we come before God with sincere hearts and ask him to forgive us for our sins. The curtain of the temple that separated you and me from the presence of God through the sacrifice of Jesus, through the forgiveness of Jesus, was torn in two, it says, from top to bottom, granting us, you and me, direct access to God. If you have Jesus as your personal Savior, you no longer need anyone to go on your behalf. Jesus is your priest. He is the one that died and made it possible for that veil to be rent in half, that curtain to be torn. You have been purified by the blood of Jesus, and you now have direct access to God. Amen? This morning, Deb and I got a text from daughter Rachel. She said, just wanted to share with you that granddaughter Kelsey recently invited Jesus into her heart, and this morning she's being baptized as a believer in her church. That granddaughter now has direct access to Jesus because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet in the day of Nehemiah, this was not yet fulfilled. In that time, the priests were called upon to pray and offer sacrifices and to purify on behalf of the people, and they did so. The priests and the Levites who served the temple first purified themselves, and they followed the ceremonial rituals and sacrifices to purify the people. And then they had rituals for purifying the walls and the gates, and they did so. And once all the purifications were completed, a procession of worship was organized. We see it in Nehemiah 12, 31 to 36, but I'm just kind of bringing it together for you on these. Nehemiah brought the leaders of Judah up on a wall. He sent two great companies joined by the mass of people going right and left ways, shouting thanks as they processed along the wall with instruments proclaiming. Picture it. Nehemiah said, okay, up on the wall. And they came up dozens and hundreds onto this great wall that went around Jerusalem. First, the choir went to Nehemiah's right, on top of the wall, toward the gate. Then Nehemiah joined a second choir, it says, that went to the left, to a second way. And as they're going, they're cheering and chanting and proclaiming and singing, and they're playing, and they're just praising the Lord in every way they can with their voices and every instrument they have. And they march all around the wall and end at the temple. And the singers sang, and they offered great sacrifices that day. It says in 44, on that day, men were appointed over the chambers of the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather them into the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites from the fields belonging to the towns. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. Rejoicing for them was expressed through their thankful singing and praising, rejoicing, instruments, sacrifices, and tithing. You know, the only thing I could ever imagine that I've experienced in my life was anything like this kind of a parade was the time I took my kids down to Disney World. And in the evening, they always invite you, make sure you're here, because it's the Disney parade. Who's been there for the Disney parade? Have you been there? Yeah. You sit there on the side, or you stand on the side, and here come the floats, and here come the characters, and they're singing, celebrate, Mickey, celebrate. And they're just singing. I'm sitting there thinking, we are celebrating a non-existent rat. Sorry, didn't mean to be so mean about it. But think about it. They just erupted into worship here It says they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. I love that phrase, God made them rejoice with great joy. No, he didn't force them. But when they reflected upon all that God had done for them, it made them unable to do anything else but erupt into rejoicing and worship. And their eruption into worship was so loud, do you see, that it could be heard far away. The question is, thinking about that then and even today, what do they hear? What do people hear from us in response to so many blessings he has given us? Do the neighbors around us hear our sounds of rejoicing as they did in Nehemiah's day? Now I'm going to go a little more serious. I'm going to go from some preaching to meddling. All across the nation, every Sunday after church, people leave church and go out for lunch. I'm going to question you. What do the people at other tables around you hear about church? What do you say about the people in church, the ministries, the service, the pastors? Or do you every Sunday go home and have roast preacher? Will they hear from your table something that will make them want to come to church more? Or will they be more turned off and say, well, that's why I don't go to church? Or do they hear near and far away, as in Nehemiah's day, the sound of rejoicing, of praise to God? Even after all the struggles and challenges of Nehemiah's time, they finally paused to consider all that God had done for them. And when they thought, remembered, and saw all that God had done and how he had greatly blessed them, they could do no other thing than erupt into worship. Now I'm going to speak out some of the many wondrous blessings that God has done and is doing here at Pathways. With each one, I would like you to respond in erupting worship to God by loudly proclaiming, hallelujah. Can you say that word for me? Do you know how you say that word in French? Hallelujah. Yeah, you say it in Spanish? Hallelujah. And how you say it in Portuguese? Hallelujah. All right, it is a very common in most languages word, because it's not really a word of English that's translated. It's more the Jewish word that we hear and we have. So please get ready with your hallelujahs for how God has faithfully brought us out of many struggles and challenges personally and as a church. Hallelujah. For how God has formed Pathways and is renovating, invigorating, and growing his church here. Hallelujah. For how God has given us this beautiful sanctuary to gather together in. Hallelujah. For how God has blessed us with a tremendous multicultural church. Hallelujah. For how God is moving among us to reach our community through Pathways as well as through our sister Brazilian and Hispanic congregations. Hallelujah. And did you know the Hispanic congregation, within 2 months, is at capacity? Hallelujah. For how God has blessed us with rejoicing voices and instruments through our organist and pianist, through our choir and special music, through our praise team, through our orchestra, through our bell choirs, through our sound and video. Hallelujah. For how God loved us so much that he sent his sinless son to bear our sins so we may be forgiven and purified from all our sins. For how God, when his son died for our sins, had the temple curtain torn down the middle, giving everyone direct access to God. Stand up, please. For how God has blessed us with each other, turn to the people around you and say hallelujah. Go ahead. Look at the people in the back. Say hallelujah. Please look at me and say hallelujah. Now turn, looking at the middle. Everybody turn, look at the people on the other side. Louder. Louder. God is doing a great work among us. We should be so thankful and so overwhelmed by his love and faithfulness that people in the neighborhoods and the restaurants and the workplaces and the families should be able to hear with such joy and thankfulness that we love him and we erupt into worship. I wanted to sing a little chorus, and they're throwing it up here, and sing with me if you know it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. He has done great things. Has he? He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. All together with a hallelujah. Hallelujah.